you didn't come with, and tell him you are the blessed of the Lord. I'm glad to see you tonight. I want to acknowledge Brother Robert and Ava Arthur for coming up to check on me in Temple, and Brother Kenneth Price and Aisha. They all came up to Richard and Michelle before they left on their little vacation. Came up to see if I was still kicking. Tuesday, a week ago, I went to the VA to have a little fluid taken off my belly, and they took 5 liters, about 15 pounds, and they said, "You ain't leaving here." And I said, "What?" And they said, "Lay back. We're taking you from the ER to a room, and your sodium level is off and your kidney function is off, and we're going to start giving you intravenous until that is corrected." So I spent a week as a guest of the Veterans Administration as they tried to correct some of the damage from my vacation in the Middle East with Uncle Sugar. I try to forget that place, but when you carry the reminder in your body every day, it's hard to forget Vietnam when you're still paying for it. If you would grab your word and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to take you to the word the Lord gave me for tonight. And the title which he gave me was, "Why Not Us?" Why not us? 1 Corinthians 6 is a interesting passage that introduces you to an aspect of God life. We are called to live the God life. We are not called to be Christians. We are called to be new covenant believers, heirs and joint heirs with the anointed Redeemer, sons of God. Now, some people's mind won't stretch that far. They still remember too much about themselves. And if you're double-minded about the new birth and about your place in the family of God, you're cheating yourself. You are not born again by any work that you do except by submitting to the lordship of the anointed Redeemer. Once you submit, he does the cleansing, he does the redeeming, he does the renaming, and he does the imparting of divine life. At the new birth, you were granted eternal life. I don't know how it is possible that so many religious people do not understand eternal life. I have never gone forward in a rededication service, and I don't see myself ever doing it. I don't have to rededicate myself because sin has driven a wedge between me and the Father. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the age." He said, "No man snatches you out of my hand." Once you surrender to the lordship of the anointed Redeemer, the Yeshua HaMashiach of God, you are eternally family. You have to say, "I don't want it. I deny it. I'll walk away from it." And I can't see anybody that stupid. I don't teach that your ticket is punched. I teach you don't need a ticket. I have His word on it. Do you recognize the new covenant gives you your divine birthright, your list of inheritance blessings, and who you are as the new creation? I did not add salvation to my miserable life. I laid my miserable life down and I picked up eternal life. And I said, I decree that Jesus is Lord. The Yeshua HaMashiach of God is Lord of all creation, and He is now my Lord. And I submit to His word, to His lordship, to His leadership. Oh, Brother Jim, that seems too easy. Grace is a marvelous thing, not to be misunderstood and not to be misapplied, but to be received with thanksgiving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'd like to draw your attention to verse 14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. What was the power that raised our Lord from the dead? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to confirm what our Lord said on the cross. It is finished. In other words, I have done my part as the sacrificial lamb. Now I lay down my life, I give up the Spirit. But in 3 days, the Spirit's coming back to pick me up. Amen. And rapture me out of this mess and into the divine presence of the Most High God. You mean, Pastor Jim, is that simple? He only had to submit to the Holy Spirit to do the work for him? It's the same for us today. Amen. All we have to do is submit to the lordship of our God and to the power of His Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done. The power that raised our Redeemer was the Holy Spirit of truth, Romans 8:11. Verse 17, but one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Woe. Brother Brian, it takes a lifetime to explore the vastness of that verse of Scripture. One with Him. I want you to think for a minute. In the Old Covenant, the Father spoke words in line with His plan for man, earth, the ages, and the Holy Spirit performed the words He spoke. The Holy Spirit was hanging around, hovering over the face of the deep, waiting for God to say something. God said, "Bet or, light be." And the Holy Spirit went, "Shazam." No, He went, "There it is." And He created the light that our God spoke. Then God spoke concerning the trees, the herbs, man, everything, and the Holy Spirit went to work. That was the old covenant. God the Father was one with the Holy Spirit. I said, God the Father was one, not the same person, but one in purpose and intent. In the new covenant, our Redeemer spoke faith-filled words in line with the Father's will, and the Holy Spirit produced those words. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Peace, be still. Lazarus, come forth. I wondered who came fifth. Our Lord was one with the Spirit. But this verse says, we occupy the same place in the Heavenly Father's Trinity. We are one with the Holy Spirit. If we are born again, not if we ask, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm truly sorry for all that I did. That ain't going to cut it. You've got to decree what Romans 10, 9 and 10 said. I decree that you are the Lord. You're the Son of the Most High God. You are my Redeemer. Your blood paid for my sins. Your stripes paid for my healing. Your resurrection opened eternity to me. Because when you were caught up, I was caught up. Now, it took me a couple of thousand years to catch up with being caught up, but it happened 1969. After returning from Nam, I surrendered to his lordship, and immediately he delivered me from drugs and alcohol. It took about a month to set me free from tobacco because I didn't have a tobacco habit. I just loved the stuff. And 3 packs a day was barely enough. But I went to church one night. The man of God laid hands on me and cursed the spirit of nicotine. And I walked out of the building and I never touched another one. The taste was gone. It was no longer there. I couldn't do that for myself. I wasn't sure I wanted to do that for myself. You saved me smoking. I guess I could keep going. But he saw it differently. And I never realized there was a spirit of nicotine and that I needed to be delivered. But when hands were laid on me, the power of darkness was broken. I was born again. I just had not put everything under the blood. When you come to the Lord, don't keep one toe out. Surrender completely. Spirit, mind, body, aspirations. The new birth makes you one with the Redeemer. What does it mean to be one spirit? One in goal, one in purpose, one in action. A lot of people think I can pray anything I want to pray and put the rubber stamp on it. In Jesus' name. And God has to do it. No. He said, if you pray in my name, if you're working for a company and you decide the company needs to give you their car, you can't say, well, I'm an employee. I had use of it anyway. No, you drive that car for what the company wants you to do. If you are working for a company and they give you the right to write checks for the company payroll, the company bills, company expenses, and you write one for your own, that's theft. But they gave me the power to sign checks. They didn't give you the power to sign any check. They gave you the power to sign their checks. So when you pray in his name, you pray according to his will, plan, and purpose, not yours. So when he said, if you ask anything in my name, he wasn't giving you a magic talisman to put on your request list. He was saying, does it line up with what I've called you to? Does it line up with my new covenant? Does it line up with my will for your life? Verse 19, or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Do you not know that your physical body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, and that you are not your own? I am no longer my own, able to make my own decisions and go my own way. I must pursue the Father's will. I must do the work to which I was called, the work of redeeming creation. Do you see your body as the temple in which the Holy Spirit lives? I mean, can you stop and meditate that for a minute? This is where the Holy Spirit lives. Not in my blood pump, heart, but in my belly. For out of your belly shall flow a river of living waters. Your belly is the throne room of God. How much power or authority do you see dwelling in you? Unfortunately, in the church today, a whole lot of people are praying outside their body. What does it mean to pray outside your body? You don't see this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you're still throwing messages out there. Rather than communing with the Spirit that lives in you. He, living right here, will lead you and guide you in all truth and show you things to come. He didn't say if you send up a lot of prayers, that'll happen. He said He lives in you and He wants to do those things through you. It is important that as a believer, you acknowledge my belly is the throne room of God. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and I am one spirit with God. Therefore, I don't want to walk outside the Spirit's leading. Ephesians 3:20 states, what? According to the power that is at work within you. When you begin to think about what's in me, well, the Holy Spirit is in me. His word should also be in you. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not operate outside your will, sin against thee. Is it any different with us than it was with the Father and the Son in speaking and the Holy Spirit performing their words? Is it any different with us if they were one with the Spirit and we are one with the Spirit? It should be the same with us. That power that is at work in us. What is the power? The word of the new covenant. The Spirit who dwells in you and bold declaration that flows out of your belly. Every born-again child of God has had times when something rose up out of their belly and they found them giving utterance to it and not necessarily understanding what or why, They just let her fly. Those are powerful moments because the Spirit within you speaks through you and you do not filter the words. But it takes fellowship with the Father, communion with the Holy Spirit, and submission to the Son for that to become a natural, regular occurrence, not a, well, I remember back in 1967, I was in a really Spirit-filled meeting. The power of God was present, and something just rose up in me, and it just flowed out of me. Well, that shouldn't be something you look back to. That should be something you're looking forward to. If God ever worked through you, it is possible to do it again. God is not a one-hit wonder. Bold proclamation of the promises of God. There are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness. And by becoming a partaker of these promises, you take on the divine nature. If you know His promise that He supplies all your needs, you boldly decree, He supplies all of my needs. And you expect the Holy Spirit to perform it, not your faith, not your sincere, diligent prayer. No, you speak the word only. And the Holy Spirit comes to confirm your bold proclamation of it is written. Repeatedly in your new covenant, our Lord Redeemer said, it is written. Why did He say that? To remind you where the power was coming from. Don't look at me. It is written. And the Holy Spirit jumped on it, manifested it. What will He do for you since you are one Spirit with the Holy Spirit? Since your body is the dwelling place of the Most High God, all you need is the Word of Truth in you and letting it form the basis for your declarations of faith. Not I wanna, I need it, I wish I, but it is written, with His stripes I was healed. Well, Pastor Jim, how can you say that when you just got out of the hospital after a week? All the time I was in there, I decreed my kidneys function properly. My sodium level is proper. My body functions as it should because with His stripes I was made whole. Now I don't care if I'm laying flat on my back staring at the ceiling when I say it or on my feet with an evangelistic fervor. The Word still works. I don't make it more important by the power of my declaration. I make it work by the submission to the Word I'm decreeing and declaring. Oh, church, come on. These few verses in Ephesians 6 in Corinthians 6 paired together with Ephesians 3:20, all of it happens according to the power that's at work in you. What is the power at work in you? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Word of the New Covenant, my submission to it and bold declaration of it. Do you have faith that God's Word is true concerning you? Can you look yourself in the mirror and say, you are faithful? the dwelling place of the Most High God. The Spirit of truth lives in you and desires to function through you so that I fulfill John. The works that I do shall you do and greater. These signs shall follow them, Mark 16. He said you can speak with new tongues, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, not just physically blind, but spiritually blind. Brother John, when people see you decree the word and it works in your life, you are becoming a billboard for God. When I was in the hospital 7 months and 11 days in 07 and 08, I told them what day I would walk out of the hospital. And the night before I did, one of the night shift nurses came in. You've heard this story before, but fasten your seatbelt, you're going to hear it again. And George came in and said, he opened the door and he said, "Pastor, you awake?" It's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and in there you don't sleep. You just nap between visits from the staff. I love it when they've woken you up the third time. Well, we woke you up at 11, we're waking you up at midnight. It's now 5:30, we're waking you up again. But get some rest. You just want to say, "Would you look in the closet there and hand me one of my shoes? I'm going to throw it at you as you go out the door." But I knew something was different because George always stuck his head in the door and he would go, "Hey, preach. You awake?" But this night he said, "Hey, Pastor, can I talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "Come on in, George." And he came in and he said, "I saw you when you came in here and you couldn't turn yourself over in bed. You could barely lift your hand." And he said, "I've watched you all these months." And he said, "Last night I was talking to my mom." He said, "My mom's a church lady. And I was talking to my wife. She's a church lady. And I'm a part of the men's Bible study. And I told them, ever since I asked Jesus into my heart, I've wanted to see a miracle. And sitting up here on the night shift at night, between rounds, I didn't have a lot to do, so I read all 91 pages of your medical transcript." And he said, "After reading it, there's no medical reason for you to be alive." I said, "Many doctors have told me that, but I don't need a medical reason. I got a reason from God." And he said, "Now you're about to leave here." And I told my family, "I've finally seen a miracle. I watched a man do everything they told him he couldn't do. When he came in here, he couldn't hardly talk. He couldn't walk. He couldn't turn himself over in bed. And now I watch you walking up and down the halls, and it's amazed everybody. But I want you to know, for me, I have finally seen a miracle." What a send-off from the hospital to leave the next day with that. "Pastor, how could you boldly tell them what day you would be leaving the hospital?" "Because with his stripes I was healed." And I said, "I will leave by that day, because the next day is my wife's birthday and the annual church picnic. And I will no longer be here." Well, the next day came, and they had listen to my threats, because I told him, if you don't pull all these tubes out of me, I'll start pulling them out myself, because I'm leaving here this week. So they finally came in and took all the tubes out and lied to me about it. There was a feeding tube in my side that was about a quarter-inch tube, but on the end it had a flare that was the size of a quarter. And it had been in there for, it had been in there for about 7 months. And the doctor came in and said, there's only one way to do this. We don't want to cut you open to remove it, so I'm going to grab that hose and I'm going to pull it out of you. And so he goes out and he puts on a gown, he gets a face mask, he puts on gloves, and he comes back in looking like he's ready for outer space. And he said, this is a little barbaric, but it's the only way we do it. And it will hurt a little. He lied. When he jerked that thing through my side, it felt like he was pulling my guts out. And he looked at me and he started asking me questions. I said, just give me a minute. Let me turn the pain off and I'll be fine. And he looked at me like, but he gave me a minute. I turned the pain off and I said, okay, you lied to me. That wasn't a little pain. Hell itself doesn't hurt that bad. But they showed up that last day with a wheelchair. And I said, you ain't got enough people in this hospital to put me in that chair. I told you I'm walking out of here. So I stood up and walked out pushing the chair with my wife's purse in it. And many of y'all have seen the video. Some of you were actually there. But the Holy Spirit confirmed my confession, performed that which I decreed. And I walked out on that day that I'd been waiting for months, but I knew in my knower, I'm walking out, and I will be out by this date. And they said, you're not going to be physically able to leave then. It'll be at least another month or more. I said, you don't understand. I'm walking out of here on that day. I have purpose to do it. I'm going to do it. Be ready for it. And so I walked out. And we stopped in Georgetown and went to Don's Barbecue and had ribs. I mean, after that substitute food they had been serving me, I had to have something with taste to it again. But I've seen God perform my word. I told you, before he was the candidate for president, that God said Donald Trump will be president. Then I told you he said he'll be a two-term president. Well, aren't you concerned about all the impeachment talk? No. God said he'll be a two-term president. And then I wouldn't be surprised to see the vice president run for two terms, because Mr. Pence will have built up a record with the people. I told you in 06, God said there's an economic downturn coming in 08, and for you to get liquid. Many of you did. And so in 08, when the economic downturn came, you were already ready for it because you had the word of the Lord. When you have the word of the Lord, you can boldly decree it and expect it to happen. Now, you can have it because you hear Daddy speak, or you can have it because you read it in his word. But either one, they have the same authority. This in your mouth is the same as a direct revelation from God. This has gotten me out of poverty. It's gotten me out of death. It's gotten me out of infirmity. His word in my mouth has changed my life and will change yours. You are one with the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Give Him voice. Give Him presence. Because if He confirmed Daddy's words, if He confirmed our Lord's words, and you are one, He'll confirm your words. But you got to boldly decree it from what you've hidden in your heart and from what you know of your Father's will. Are y'all getting anything? You're not a mere Christian. You're a son of God. You're an heir and joint heir. Everything He has, you have. You can fulfill His job description. Your job is to redeem creation. The number one job of a believer is not saving souls. It's doing the will of the Father. But if you're doing the will of the Father, other people will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You just gotta be one with who you're one with. If you've been experiencing separation anxiety, get out of your head and get into your spirit. If you can conquer double-mindedness, you can conquer anything. Don't let your thinking rule your believing. Let His truth rule your believing. I don't think I'm a believer. I know it. I don't think I can heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out the devil. I know it. I've seen Daddy raise the dead. I've seen Him heal the sick. I've seen miracles that were almost defying description. And you know what? He is not a one-hit wonder. If He did it in someone else's life, He'll do it in yours. So I submit to the Word. I submit to the Spirit. And I rise up in my new identity as one with the Spirit of truth. Well, that's it. That's all you get. Take that home and meditate it. Realize who you are. Why not us? He paid an awesome price for us to be His, to be one with His will, and to accomplish His works. Don't let that lie dormant. Rise up in who you are and in whose you are and do great works. Father, I've delivered your word as you gave it to me. And I decree that this people are becoming strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. They do exploits in the name of the Lord. They set the captives free. They opened the blind eyes of those who don't believe. And they bring your truth alive in the life of all they meet. Father, I thank you that this people is a living testimony of your truth, and they perform your will as never before on the face of the earth. And the people said, amen. You are the blessed of the Lord. Everything you set your hand to prospers, and God has called you to greatness. Go with God.